Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here and bring up anything you'd like. The number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can also join us via Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. At some point tonight, we will be hopefully hearing from our former co-host, Michelle Seven, who has been in a courtroom all day, as I understand it. She's been in New York City in Manhattan at the Federal District Court, and she has been attending the trial of one Ross Ulbricht. Mark, who is Ross Ulbricht?
Well, he's alleged to be the Dread Pirate Roberts. This is the admin of the website known as the Silk Road. The Silk Road was a website, not like regular websites where you type something into your browser and you go there, but it was on the dark web. And you haven't stumbled across this accidentally. This is a website that is actually, the dark web was created, the Tor network was created by the government, DARPA, for the Navy, in order to, so that they can pass secrets around and stuff like that. And they released it to the public. That's what sort of made it powerful, was that a lot of people had to be using it once. So, you know, the government made it so you can pass stuff around secretly, and that's where the dark web came from. And they set up a website where people could buy and sell things that they wanted to buy and sell without the impediments of government. Well, that meant that people were selling things like drugs and government IDs and a variety of things, some of which I don't think I support, but I do believe there was a study that was put out that showed that the Silk Road was actually making the drug trade safer.
And that's true.
That would be, you know, I think that's a good thing. Making the drug trade safer is good for everybody. No cops died in the creation of the Silk Road.
So we've been following along with this Silk Road, these allegations against Ross Ulbricht. We've had his mother on the show, Lynn, who has, you know, stood by him in this. And today was the big day. Today was the first day of the trial in Manhattan. He's facing pretty much the rest of his life in prison. You know, multiple charges, felony counts with decades.
They're
going to
throw away the key
decades are in the possibility here. And so, you know, this is a big trial. And as we've talked about over the last couple of days, that there are major implications here. You know, one of the big implications is the idea that, well, if you create a website, how is it that you are responsible for what people do with that website? Is the person who created Craigslist responsible for everyone who advertises as a prostitute on Craigslist? I mean, no, clearly not.
I don't think so, but I also don't really support that line of thinking terribly.
Which line of thinking?
The line of thinking that you're somehow not responsible, that Dread Pirate Roberts, whoever he might be, was somehow not responsible for the drug trade on the Silk Road when he created the website basically for that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the argument is that it's one step in the direction toward making administrators of a website accountable for the things that the users do with it. Ultimately, you know, I understand that argument. I guess we'll see what happens in court. But I don't want to be held responsible for the things that my users post on freetalklive.com. I don't want to be held responsible for what you post on the Free Talk Live BBS. It's none of my business what you do there, and I don't really care. And I don't feel like anybody who's an administrator of a website should be held responsible for the individuals who utilize that site for whatever purpose. Now, of course, you could also argue that Dread Pirate Roberts was indeed profiting from the transactions that were going on the Silk Road. And there, you know, that probably will be another tough one to beat in front of this jury, which, by the way, I've been observing this throughout the day, you know, the different tweets and things that have been coming out, because people who have been attending the trial have not been allowed to have cell phones in the courthouse.
Mm.
So any information that's coming out is from someone leaving the court and getting their phone back and then actually tweeting information about what has gone on. So there's likely been a delay between what goes on in the courtroom and when we actually get the news about it. It's not like here in New Hampshire where you can sit in the courthouse on your cell phone. As long as it's not ringing and making noise, they won't bother you here.
Right.
But in the federal court, I know it's this way in the Concord federal court, they will confiscate everyone's cell phones. And Michelle, she was going to try to get a media pass. Apparently, if you can prove to the feds that you're media, they will allow you to bring a cell phone in. At least that's what she thought, but turns out they're not allowing anyone to bring cell phones in. Mm. So even though Michelle and John Bush from the Liberty Beat and, you know, Derek J, they all had press passes, none of them were allowed to actually bring cell phones in, from what I understand.
Yeah, I got to say that it's really kind of silly, this whole prohibition that they've got as far as, you know, somebody getting a fair trial or whatever it is with cameras and electronics in the courtroom. If somebody's creating a problem, they're creating a problem that really doesn't have anything to do with anything else. If somebody's sitting there, you know, the stenographer is tic-tacking away, typing, why can't somebody sit on a laptop and, you know, type? Or why don't we have a camera feed from these courtrooms? And it's difficult.
There is one in the New Hampshire Supreme Court, as I understand.
I tend to not trust these people because I believe they operate under the cover of darkness. And this doesn't make me trust them anymore.
So there have been some interesting tweets that have come out today, but the big, big news is what has been released now, literally just minutes ago. Wired.com has it. The opening statements were able to go forward today. So most of the good chunk of today in the courtroom was jury selection. And it was the old opening statements that I think are going to shock a lot of people. Let's just jump right into that, and then we can talk about the jury selection and some of the other interesting observations. The judge threatening the jury today via the protesters. I'll explain what all that means here in a moment. Story from Wired.com. This is Andy Greenberg, who has been following along with this. Now, you may recall that name if you've been listening to Free Talk Live for a little while. Andy Greenberg was the guy who got the exclusive interview with Dread Pirate Roberts like a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we read that on the air here, and it was in that interview that the Dread Pirate Roberts at that time claimed he was not the first Dread Pirate Roberts, but the second Dread Pirate Roberts,
yes.
And the original Dread Pirate Roberts had, you know, left the ship, so to speak, and handed it over to the new guy. For the past year, this is Greenberg writing today, just posting at about 5:27 Eastern Time this evening, Silk Road's defense, because we did get to opening statements. For the past year, the FBI and federal prosecutors have told and retold the story of how Ross Ulbricht created, owned, and operated the massive, anonymous online drug empire known as the Silk Road. But as his trial began Tuesday, Ulbricht's defense lawyers for the first time told their own version of that story. And while theirs also begins with Ulbricht creating the Silk Road, that's right, he's admitted to it.
Okay.
It ends with Ulbricht being framed by the real operators of the site, to whom he'd handed over control. In his opening statement in a Manhattan courtroom, defense attorney Joshua Dreidel began with a surprising admission that his client Ross Ulbricht was, in fact, the founder of the Silk Road. But Dreidel went on to explain the site was meant merely to be a kind of economic experiment that Ulbricht only controlled for a brief time. The eventual adoptive owners of the Silk Road, Dreidel claimed, would later trick Ulbricht into serving as the fall guy when they sensed an impending law enforcement crackdown. After a few months, he found it too stressful for him, and he handed it over to others, Dreidel told the jury, describing the Silk Road's early days. At the end, he was lured back by those operators to take the fall for the people running the website. Ross was not a drug dealer, he added. He was not a kingpin. That new story, describing Ulbricht as a patsy for the powerful online drug lords who operated the Silk Road at its peak, won't be an easy sell. In its own opening statement, the prosecution outlined powerful evidence against Ulbricht that includes proof the FBI caught him logged into a Silk Road administrator panel in the San Francisco Public Library last year, and a journal and logbook found on his laptop that detail his activities in running the Silk Road. Assistant U.S. Attorney Timothy Howard also said in a statement that Ulbricht at one point confessed creating the Silk Road to an old college friend. That purported, well, of course, we know he's created the Silk Road. They've admitted that much.
Right.
That purported personal breach of Ulbricht's secrecy represents a damaging new claim from the prosecution, and Howard said that the college friend would be serving as a witness in the trial. As the alleged administrator of the Silk Road, known as Dread Pirate Roberts, Ulbricht faces charges including narcotics, money laundering, and hacking conspiracies. But Tuesday's opening statement showed that the trial will center around proving that Ulbricht is, in fact, the Dread Pirate Roberts. The Silk Road, after all, used the anonymity software Tor and the cryptocurrency Bitcoin expressly to hide its users' identities, and the trial could be a case study in how law enforcement cuts through those layers of technological obfuscation or fails to. Dreidel, the defense attorney, told the jury, quote, "The internet is a strange place. People can create and fabricate profiles for themselves and others." We'll talk more about Ulbricht, the alleged fall guy. You can share your thoughts with us here. 855-450-FREE as the first day of the Ross Ulbricht trial has wrapped up. It's Free Talk Live.
In a trial by jury, the primary function of a juror is not to dispense punishment to the accused. It is to protect your fellow citizens from being unjustly deprived of their life, liberty, or property. As a juror, you can say no to unjust laws and prevent government abuses of power by refusing to convict. Legislative, executive, judicial, the fourth branch of government is we the people. Find out more from the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Khalid lives in Gaza. He makes his living as a taxi driver. The engine in his old beater blew up. Now, he makes good money driving people in his cab, but he couldn't afford the $1,300 for a new engine. Free Talk Live helped him get a loan for the engine, and he's back on the road. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference, one cup at a time. Get a free pound to try out the subscription. Cancel anytime. Coffee.freetalklive.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrant, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you'd like right here. Now, we are talking about the Silk Road, but you don't have to. You can also take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The biggest revelation of the day has to be that Ross Ulbricht has admitted, through his defense attorneys, to being Dread Pirate Roberts, the operator of the Silk Road, the creator of the Silk Road, though he's saying he bailed out after just a few months and then was somehow lured back in by the site's subsequent operator in order to take the fall for what they knew was apparently a law enforcement come down. So that's the story. That's a short version. We're going to give you more from Wired.com here in just a moment. And don't forget, if you want to get a pound of some of the best coffee out there from BuzzBox, you go to coffee.freetalklive.com. Now, BuzzBox coffee is awesome coffee. I mean, this is good quality stuff. Mark, you are a regular coffee drinker, and you swear by this product.
Yeah, it's. It just tastes better. It's shade-grown, 100% organic, top 1% grade Arabica beans. It's just better tasting coffee. But, you know, I drank regular coffee for a long time, and I'm like, oh, you know, this is fine and everything. For me, what it was is what converted me on it is A, better coffee is better for you, and B, BuzzBox has a program where we're able to give microloans out to people around the world as a result. So they have this sort of charitable aspect to them, and I really think that's awesome. We got another check today, and I will be depositing that, and we'll be microloans will go out to people around the world, and we'll be able to help more folks because you've decided to upgrade your coffee drinking experience by going to coffee.freetalklive.com, getting a free pound of it, trying it out, and then sticking with the program after that. Once you get your free pound, you can sort of customize your shipping. You can customize which kind of coffee you want to get, and they have the water decaf there. So what I did was I signed up a second time, and sent the regular pound of regular coffee that's not decaffeinated off to my father-in-law, and that way I was able to get the water decaffeinated one after it started shipping. So the free pound is regular coffee, and then after that I could get the decaf. And it's worked out really well. So it's coffee.freetalklive.com. Get a free pound and try it out.
Awesome. All right, we're going to continue here with a story from Wired.com. The perfect fall guy, reports Andy Greenberg, as Dreidel, this is the defense attorney for Ross Ulbricht. As Dreidel told it, Ulbricht had long given up control of the Silk Road by the time he was arrested and charged with running the site last year. But as the site's initial creator, he was the perfect fall guy, said Dreidel. He told the jury he would present evidence that the real Dread Pirate Roberts paid for information about the law enforcement investigation that focused on him, including information that they had possibly learned his real name. And that name is not Ross Ulbricht. The new operators of the Silk Road had been alerted the walls were closing in, said Dreidel. That's what compelled the Dread Pirate Roberts to put his escape plan into action, framing Ulbricht, according to Dreidel's telling. In Dreidel's version of the events, Ulbricht's store of bitcoins was simply the earnings from his early investments in the cryptocurrency, not the Silk Road profits, the prosecutors allege. Which, by the way, from what I understand, they've already sold off those bitcoins, unless I'm mistaken.
Right, I think that that's ridiculous that they can do that, and I believe they have sold off the Bitcoin. So they can confiscate your property.
Yeah.
Sell your property.
Before you're even found guilty.
Before you're found guilty. Like, for me, it's not, this trial isn't about the guilt of Ross Ulbricht. It is about the government's conduct in this trial, and it's been wide open. The judge approved them making accusations that Ulbricht has killed somebody before they put him on trial for it. I mean, that's just nuts as far as I'm concerned. They, you know, there's no sanction. Nothing happens to government agents that take a man's property. Now, he's presumed innocent. In the United States of America, police confiscated an innocent man's property, sold it, and at this point they're keeping the proceeds. I suppose they can get the proceeds back, but he wouldn't want his property sold in the first place.
Now, honestly, I don't remember if they've sold both Ulbricht's bitcoins or just the Silk Road seized bitcoins. I don't recall
that
detail. It's possible that they may still be holding on to Ulbricht's. I don't recall. If you remember that detail, please let us know. 855-450-FREE. So in Dreidel's version of the events, Ulbricht's bitcoins were just the earnings from his early investments in the cryptocurrency, not the Silk Road profits, the prosecutors allege. Jadl points out that the bitcoins seized from Ulbricht are only a small fraction of the full $18 million that the government has said the Dread Pirate Roberts earned in Silk Road commissions. And he implied that the, and that's $18 million U.S. dollars, and he implied that the evidence found on Ulbricht's computer at the time of his arrest was falsified to leave him holding the bag when the real operators of Silk Road knew their time was up. He didn't elaborate on how the evidence could have been planted on Ulbricht's computer. That will be interesting to find out.
It certainly would, but, you know, that's if the intrigue goes deep enough, I wouldn't... who knows?
The Dread Pirate Roberts is someone who studiously avoided revealing his identity to anyone on the site. The same person goes to a public library and uses public Wi-Fi connection? Dreidel asked the jury. That Ross is DPR is a contradiction so fundamental that it defies common sense. Dreidel added, the real DPR is out there. We'll talk more about the opening statements in the Ross Ulbricht case here in a moment. Aaron is with us. You can also bring up anything you want. Aaron, you're on Free Talk Live listening in St. George, Utah, KZNU.
Hi, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I have a libertarian perspective that I need from you guys, what you would do in this situation. That is, say a city has a piece of land in which nothing has really been done or developed on it. No improvements have been done or conducted on the land. But you have a private entity that wants to come in and erect a private business on the land in conjunction with the city in type of a partnership and ask that that land be deeded or partially deeded for this purpose. Or you also have a competing interest in the city that says, hey, we would just like to have a park on this land. And this is kind of a hot debate, and I was curious how a libertarian would come into this situation and how he would best distribute the land back to the people if you had to make a choice between those two options.
Well, between those two options, I think you're giving a libertarian a very difficult conundrum. Shall we make a public-private partnership with some group of people that stand to benefit from the public's land that we will either gift or deed or whatever to them? Or do we make a park where all the kiddies can play? And those are tough, things for any libertarian to say because you're saying, how are we going to use the government stuff? I would say that the best way for this, to handle this is put the land up for auction.
Mm.
The person who wins the auction can do what they wish with the land. Take the money made from the auction, put it towards people's property taxes, and give everybody a discount next year as a result. That sounds like the easiest way for me to answer the question. I don't know about this public-private partnership. I don't know about a park. I don't know what's right for this land, but I do know that people can run parks and make money off of them. There's all kinds of them out there. And I know that, obviously a private interest could make good use of the land.
Does that answer your question, Aaron?
Yeah, I think that helps out. I was just looking for how, if you were in this decision-making situation, how you guys would approach this. Because
I agree with Mark. I like the idea of putting it up to the highest bidder. That makes sense to me. Thanks for the call, Aaron.
Okay.
There's more coming up here on Free Talk Live. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here, and you can bring up anything you want, although the Silk Road, I think, is going to be the overarching discussion throughout the show tonight. We've talked a little bit about what happened inside the courthouse, but that's only part of the story from what happened in Manhattan today. Our friend Derek J. Freeman, our co-host normally here on Monday nights, was there all day today, from what I understand, along with some other great activists from Keene and Manchester, New Hampshire, who carpooled down to show support for Ross Ulbricht, who has now, in an opening statement, his attorney has admitted that he indeed was the creator of the Silk Road. But the claim is that he left the Silk Road after just a few months and then was somehow lured back in to take the fall for the site's actual operator. It's an interesting story.
It's an interesting story, and I don't know what to believe. I'm not on the jury. It just sounds like, you know, a story.
Yep.
I wonder to myself...
The feds have a story, too.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, what's the truth? I suppose you're supposed to find that out as a juror. I don't know the answer. But, you know, if this is a fabricated story, what's the best way to go about fabricating a story? Do you just tell your lawyer, I did it, let's take the facts and create a narrative? Or do you try to do it on your own and then have your lawyer believe it? I mean, what? I don't know. It just seems like it's a very difficult thing to sort of come up with.
Well, legally you can tell your lawyer that you did it, and he still would have to defend you, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he has to come up with a narrative.
Okay.
Right? You can't make somebody lie. Thank God.
Well, we know the narrative of the site was that Dread Pirate Roberts had switched at
it's
some
true.
Point.
It's true.
Now, whether or not that was just some sort of plan on Ross Ulbricht's part to make it sound like it wasn't him, you know, like a long term plan. Or that's actually what happened. That's certainly what they're alleging happened, was that Ross created the site, handed it off. We'll talk more about
some evidence.
What the defense said here, but it's been some interesting tweets from at Brave the World. This is Julia Taransky, who we had on the show last week with Michelle Seven. She was tweeting from outside of the courtroom. She was watching the trial and then going outside to tweet. And she says here, as the jury has been selected, that most jurors selected have family in government work or are government workers. Okay. And in addition to that, she says these people are not Ross Ulbricht's peers. So this is not going to be an easy trial. Let's talk to Matthew. He is in Austin, Texas. You're on Free Talk Live, Matthew, via Skype.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good, sir.
I was listening to your podcast from last night, so I'm sorry to kind of break topic here. But
okay.
Fortunately, it is Free Talk Live. I was calling about Freemasonry.
Okay.
I was listening to the topic last night, and I wasn't really satisfied with the people who called in saying they were Masons and the explanations that they offered. So I am a Mason myself.
Uh-huh.
And how do you prove that, sir?
Well, I would present you my dues card.
Okay. That's the best, proof I could see.
Yeah, so it's a club, really. It is a club that has various factions to it, and so many people get confused with the 32nd and 33rd degree of Freemasonry, thinking that it is somehow the highest level or the highest attainable level. There was a gentleman last night who mentioned that, you know, he was a 32nd degree Mason, but he thinks that the 33rd is the highest degree. Well, literally none of them are higher. If you think about Freemasonry as a ladder, there's only three steps.
That's what I thought, too. I thought there were essentially 3 degrees, and then the rest of the stuff was just sort of, I don't know, what else?
A side degree.
Okay.
So if you think about it as a stairway, once you get to the top, there are other rooms you can go into, but they're all on the same floor.
Okay.
So hold on, just to be clear, you're saying that it's the third level that is the top of Masonry, or the 32nd level?
The third.
And so once you get to the third level, which apparently, according to the guy who called yesterday, you can do fairly quickly because he'd only been a Mason for 2 years.
No, actually, it's the 32nd degree that you can get to fairly quickly after you attain the third degree.
I see.
So the first 3 degrees are in a actual lodge where you will see the square and compasses prominently displayed. That's going to be Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master Mason. Now, those take time, and the reason for that is because once you petition the lodge, they then have to vote on you, investigate you with a committee, basically meet you over lunch or dinner and just ask you questions about your background. And then once you're accepted into it, you go through a ritualistic drama that's called a degree, which is part of the secrecy that we don't reveal.
Okay.
And then after you receive that, every degree has what's called esoteric work. Are you familiar with what a catechism is?
Well,
it's like a Catholic thing, right?
Right. It's a school for Catholics, a Sunday school for Catholics or something.
Isn't it something you repeat?
Yes, that's correct. A catechism is a series of questions and answers that are memorized in order to teach principles.
Okay.
However, they're not exclusive to Catholicism. Masonry has its own catechisms. It's a series of questions and answers that every person who goes through the degrees has to learn. Now, how you learn that is through another Mason. Nothing's allowed to be written down as part of the secrecy.
Interesting.
So as a result, there's nothing for you to study. You have to actually meet with another brother who will teach it to you mouth to ear. And that's been done that way for several hundred years.
An oral tradition.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's an oral tradition that goes back several hundred years and is largely unchanged. Now, another point I wanted to make is that people also see the Scottish Rite as somehow being a governmental body for Freemasonry in general. That is incorrect as well. the way that Masonry is structured is actually rather libertarian in its in the way that it's constituted. Every state has what's called a Grand Lodge, that is the ultimate governing body for all of the constituent lodges within that state. There is no authority higher than that in anywhere else in the world. So the Scottish Rite, which for the southern jurisdiction, there's another northern Masonic jurisdiction based in the mostly the Northeast, but the Scottish Rite southern jurisdiction gets the most attention because it had the most ornate building, basically, that's just up the street from the White House in Washington.
Okay.
However, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry cannot tell, say, I'm in Texas, so a Texas Mason, you know, we've declared this edict and now you have to follow it. They can't tell the Grand Lodge what to do. The Grand Lodge could actually make a resolution saying, no more Scottish Rite Masonry in Texas. Sorry, bye.
And what is the Scottish Rite Masonry? It was mentioned last night, but I'm not really sure what that is.
So, as I mentioned, you become a Master Mason by going through 3 degrees and learning memory work.
Okay.
Once you attain that level, then there's more organizations that you can join that are exclusive to Master Masons only.
Hmm.
The Scottish Rite is one of them. They're called appendant bodies. It's like the analogy that I made, like once you get to the top floor, there's other rooms you can go in, but they're all on the same level.
Is one of those rooms a human sacrifice room?
I'm not going to tell you.
Now, you did mention that the secrecy surrounds the things that are orally told, so the things that you have to learn, there's secrecy surrounding that. You mentioned there's secrecy surrounding the what you described as a ritualistic, I forget the
drama.
Ritualistic drama. Obviously,
it's a little play. It's a little play. Think of it like a play, okay? Only it's an interactive play.
Will you be decapitated if you reveal any of these secrets?
No, I won't.
What will happen?
But I would be disrespected.
Yeah.
If it was revealed that I were, if it was discovered that I were to reveal what are the called the secrets of Freemasonry, then nothing would really happen to me. However, those who know about it, they definitely would lose respect for me because mm-hmm. I haven't honored the agreement.
You presumably would be removed from the order, correct?
That would require administrative. There would have to be a Masonic trial for that. Masonry has its own legal system as well, and I would be able to invoke my Masonic rights. And then there would be several levels of bureaucracy that I would have to go through.
Awesome. How many of these trials go on per year?
Very few.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, good Lord.
How many people are in your lodge there in Austin?
Well, Austin itself has. People are under the impression that there's generally one for every locale, and that's not the case. When you get out into the country, there are rural lodges, but here in Austin, there's quite a few. My lodge has almost 500 members.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Fascinating stuff. I appreciate you calling in to clear that up, Matthew, and feel free to add in anytime you like. Thanks for the call. The Skype username that he just used to connect is lrn.fm. You can jump on here and bring up anything that's on your mind. Coming up, more from New York City, the Ross Ulbricht trial, day number one. It's for Tough Life.
And now from the Cato Institute, the Cato Constitution Minute. Writing the U.S. Constitution was no easy task. In the blazing heat of summertime Philadelphia, delegates spent 115 days debating complicated issues of representation and federal authority. The document they ultimately crafted offered a radical change in the way government is structured, one capable of taxing and regulating citizens directly and operating its own military. Many worried these new powers could erode state authority and individual rights. Many refused to ratify the Constitution until a Bill of Rights was added to protect individual liberties and limit federal power. What led to the Constitution's creation in 1787 was the shared desire by all delegates for a document that protected individual liberty and whose provisions for the new government would, in the words of James Madison, oblige it to control itself. To learn more, visit the Cato Institute online at cato.org.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Walland Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Walland Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall and Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Day number one of the Ross Ulbricht trial. He's been waiting for this for 15 months. He's been sitting in a prison cell. No bail allowed for Ross Ulbricht because he has been made out to be a murderous drug kingpin. Even though he's not actually being charged or has not been convicted of any kind of murder-related charges of hiring a hitman, which is what the prosecution would like to allege in front of a jury that he has done, and they've been granted permission to do so by the judge in this case. Not only that, the prosecution motioned the judge to restrict the witness list to the defense right until the weekend before the trial. So you want to talk about one of the most obscene violations of the sort of whole Western judicial system?
Yes, I think that that was, to me, the most important thing that I saw come out of this trial is that, you know, whether you think somebody's guilty or not, in this country, and sort of based on Western values, they're supposed to get a fair trial. And it's completely unfair to reveal the witness list, the prosecution's witness list, 48 hours before the trial starts.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And to me, I'm not claiming that there's good guys in this battle. I tend to think that Ross Ulbricht's a good guy, but if it turns out that he actually ordered the killings of people, I will cease to think that. But one thing I'm certain of is that these prosecutors and this judge are in collusion to basically destroy Western civilization as we know it. These people are evil.
So I'm going to go on here with the story that we started at the beginning of the hour, which is a write-up by Andy Greenberg at Wired.com. He's been kind of one of the key players in the media who's been covering the Silk Road for a long time, since before the charges were brought, since before the bust. He interviewed Red Pirate Roberts back in 2013. I think it was the summer of 2013 when that happened.
Sort of, but not like in real time. He sort of did a...
Over email.
Yeah, an email interview.
Because that was the only way you could talk to Dread Pirate Roberts was through the Silk Road website. So Greenberg continues. He summarized essentially the cases that were, you know, kind of put out there today during the opening statements from the prosecution and the defense. And the prosecution, of course, is arguing that, you know, Ross Ulbricht is Dread Pirate Roberts and that he has done all this bad stuff, etc. And the defense, this is the first time we've actually heard their argument. The defense is saying, yes, Ross Ulbricht did create the Silk Road, but then he left after just a few months and was somehow framed for running the Silk Road and somehow drawn back in to essentially take the fall as a patsy.
And I think that's interesting, but one thing that I found very interesting is, okay, so the juries, the majority of the jurors here either are a government employee or are related to somebody who's a government employee. I heard that the judge threatened the jury. In what way did the it had to do with seeing the signs of the protesters or something?
That's correct.
So you can be biased in one direction, but you can't be biased in another.
So apparently, and I'm hoping to ask this of Michelle Seven. She is going to call in at some point here tonight. She's currently meeting with Ross Ulbricht's mother at the moment. So after she's done with that meeting, she will be calling. And what I want to know is, I know that in New Hampshire, when you select a jury, you get... You get a certain number of peremptory challenges, I think they're called, and in New Hampshire. So that means a peremptory challenge means you can throw a juror out because you don't like the way they look. You don't have to give a reason for it. So from what I understand, they were asking jurors if they had seen any of the signs that the activists were holding as they walked in today. Activists like our very own Derek J. Freeman and some of the other folks from up here in New Hampshire who carpooled down there. The signs were things like 30 years in prison for running a website.
WTF.
Yeah. Or, you know, web hosting isn't a crime. WTF was one of them. So really cool signs. And if they admitted to having seen the signs, they were being ejected from the jury.
You're kidding me. For seeing a sign.
That's correct. And apparently...
So you could work for the government. You can be as statist as you want and biased in that way. But if you saw a sign, you are corrupted by the libertarians.
That's right. So what I want to know is how many of the jurors... were dismissed because of this.
And also, this just goes to show how the government hates protest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they hate protest. And what they're going to do is they're going to say anybody who's, you know, honest enough to have said they saw a sign, because everybody saw these things going in, we're just going to throw them out. And this will show those protesters, because all the good jurors will get thrown out and we'll keep all the statists.
Right. So if Dreidel, this is back to the Wired story, and we can talk more about that. I want to get somebody on the line who was actually witnessing it. If Dreidel can cast doubt on evidence, this is Ulbricht's attorney, like Ulbricht's purported logbook and diary, Dreidel's narrative has serious flaws that will no doubt be seized upon by the prosecution. The prosecution's opening statement promised to show evidence that the Silk Road was advertised on drug forums as a way to buy narcotics from its earliest days. Since its initial criminal complaint against Ulbricht, the FBI claimed that it can prove that Ulbricht wrote messages on those forums advertising the Silk Road. In his own opening statement, prosecutor Timothy Howard stressed that the government will prove that Ulbricht was not only the Silk Road's creator, but the central operator of the site, who exerted sole control over it and its staff of 10. He quoted a message from Dread Pirate Roberts in the early days of the Silk Road forums. Quote, I am the Silk Road. I am Silk Road, the market, the person, the enterprise, everything. Unquote. Perhaps the most significant new evidence in Howard's statement was his claim that Ulbricht confessed to running the site to a college friend who had helped him with the programming. That confession would represent the first claim that Ulbricht confided his Silk Road secret to anyone, and also contradicts Dreidel's claim that Ulbricht had cut ties with the site and handed over control to other operators. According to Howard, Ulbricht called the as-yet-unnamed friend for programming advice multiple times in 2010 and 2011. After initially refusing to tell the friend about the nature of the site and describing it as top secret, Howard says that Ulbricht eventually caved and revealed his ownership of the Silk Road. He showed him the Silk Road, said the attorney, and he bragged that he was the mastermind behind the entire thing. The debate about whether the Dread Pirate Roberts created the Silk Road or merely inherited it, however, would be or could be reignited by Dreidel's argument. When I interviewed the Dread Pirate Roberts in July of 2013, this is Greenberg at Wired.com, he claimed that he had actually purchased the Silk Road from its creator after helping him to patch a security flaw in the site. I didn't start the Silk Road, my predecessor did. I was in his corner from early on, and eventually it made sense for me to take the reins, Roberts told me at the time. He was well compensated and happy with our arrangement. It was his idea to pass the torch. In fact, we met through the site. I had discovered a big vulnerability in the way he'd configured the main Bitcoin wallet that was being used to process all of the deposits and withdrawals on the site. At first, he ignored me, but I persisted and gained his trust by helping him secure the wallet. From there, we became close friends, working on Silk Road together. That was an excerpt from the interview.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was, we read this on the air at the time, and it was interesting, the whole Dread Pirate Roberts has passed on the torch to Dread Pirate Roberts. If you've seen the movie The Princess Bride, you will see the humor in that. Yeah. But, you know, now that it's being referenced, you know, there's some evidence for it.
That claim, of course, couldn't be confirmed at the time, and in a phone interview following Ulbricht's arrest, an FBI staffer who declined to be named said that prosecutors had evidence that Ulbricht, speaking as the Dread Pirate Roberts, had lied to me in that interview. If that passing of the Silk Road torch, now reiterated by Ulbricht's defense, was a lie, the prosecution will have to prove it, and that will depend on what evidence they can present over the next 4 to 6 weeks of trial. Now, the prosecution has 11 witnesses, apparently. I did see the witness list today.
Okay.
But how long it'll take to get through those 11 witnesses, who knows?
They're thinking 4 to 6 weeks. It's not going to be a short trial.
Yeah. We'll pull the curtain back on this dark and secret world, said the prosecutor. Behind it are Ulbricht and his laptop. So that's the story from Wired's Andy Greenberg. The big revelation, if you're just tuning in, is that Ross Ulbricht, in his defense attorney's opening statement today, has admitted to being the original Dread Pirate Roberts, the person who created the Silk Road, and he's saying he passed off control of the site and that somebody else, whoever it was that took control of it, is the person who set him up for the fall.
So he's the Dread Pirate Roberts, but not the Dread Pirate Roberts is the idea.
Well, it's going to be an interesting case here because, you know, what's the jury going to think about that as an excuse? Is that going to somehow get him out of some of the charges and some of the allegations but end up with him being convicted of something?
It sounds like he's going to be convicted of something.
Yeah. So where all this is going, I don't know, but it's going to be fascinating to watch, and we're going to continue to learn more about this, and our friends are down there tonight in Manhattan. We will be hearing from somebody this evening. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Alma is in Tallahassee. You're on Free Talk Live, Alma.
Hey, sweetie pie.
You're on the air.
My husband's great-great-grandfather was a grandmaster of the Lodge of Georgia.
Okay.
My father-in-law was a 33-degree Mason. I do not want him in my house. I do not care for him. I threw up my hand one day with a sign because I looked it up. But it came up immediately. And I said, what is that? He says, steer horns. I see George in Texas. I said, there ain't no steer horns you're throwing at me.
Are you talking about the devil horns or whatever? So still continuing on here. Thank you, Alma, for the call tonight. The controversy over the Masons continues. Are they satanic or just a bunch of cool guys who like to help out the community? Now we've had people saying both things. It's Free Talk Live.
Cold winter weather. It makes my skin so dry, itchy, and irritated. Can I get some help, please, for this winter skin of mine?
Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing has the strongest non-prescription itch medicine available. Its 7 moisturizers help heal skin, so you'll stop itching and start feeling relief fast.
Ah, my skin feels like it's been on vacation, even with 10 inches of snow outside.
Itch-free, worry-free, Cortisone 10. Use as directed.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Dobby Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.